example, that EPH is doing capital in Germany and in Africa, in the University of Maputo. So it was a different university. He has been my professor, actually, and I graduated with him. And I'm really happy to introduce him here today. And so he's the editor of a book series called IT, Information Technology in Architecture. And it's a very interesting book series because it deals very specifically the idea of how the information technology impacts design and impacts the architectural research that we have today. So please welcome our guests and thank all of you to be here today.
Thank you. I'm very, really glad to be here. And I understand that you have classes and this is a lunch seminar, so it's rather informal in nature. And so we'll be more or less 45 minutes, all right? And we'll do a little trip about certain issues that we can discuss and can be developed in your design. As usual, my lectures are in internet. To find it is very simple. You go in Google, you type my name, and you arrive here. And then you must know the hidden link. What is the hidden link of this today's lecture? Which is, this is my home page, okay? And the hidden link is back here, is the second thing here. Boom. Okay, so this is important, very important, because for some of you that want to follow certain things that have seen, want to see the images again, or want even possibly read something, or even check out a book out of the library, doing something of those strange things that you can sometimes do in your life, then this is the way, you know, because basically all the information are on the web page, on the web page, you can move on. So, that is quite important. And the hidden link will be there for a little time, and then later will become public. At the same time, the recording will be available. Besides of your university thing, I will be recording too, so you can listen the audio back. What are we discussing today? Is the idea of hybridization, combination, integration, interweaving between the concept of nature and the concept of architecture and design, because we are in the information technology revolution era. The things are very connected, as you are going to probably discover during the talk. All the nature ideas and the environmental idea become part of design and architecture, particularly strongly in this era, for a series of reasons that we are going to understand and discuss. So those issues of hybridization between rules of nature and rules of architecture and design are very, very important these days to kind of understand why. And this hybridization moves at different levels. It's like a cake done of many, many different layers of meaning and technology and other things. So this is what we are going to discuss. Naturally, the issue of hybridization of nature and architecture is not something that happened these days. Has been very present in certain key moments of history of humanity. For me, as well as Marcella, that comes from the Lazio region, the Etruscan memories are extremely important. Because the Etruscan is really a civilization that has that spirit of build within nature, excavating nature, really having a kind of continuous marriage with nature, with a series of acts that are basically sectional. So that creates really those hybrid environments between nature and architecture. That is one of the profound imprint or imprinting of of certain type of architecture in the region.
So I really wanted to point it out this, because coming from that area, the central part of Italy has been culturalized by the Etruscan, and as you know, the Etruscan is a civilization that is before the Roman, of course overlapped a little bit, but is before of the Roman and have a very profound culture than the Roman, and particularly the culture of the relationship with the nation was crucial for the Etruscan in all different aspects. So here we are seeing some examples of many that are in the region. If some of you wants to do some real interesting exploration, can just go in the Lazio region to find these archaeological Etruscan sites, because many of them are not fenced; they are completely still open. So you can go there and have a real sense of that presence. So you don't go there and buy a ticket; you are almost discovering these places in the middle of the forest. It's something that we really suggest. Some of you, probably one of you, will do it, and it will be very fantastic. It's like going to Niagara Falls without tourists, you know? You can imagine, correct, to Niagara Falls without all that infrastructure around. And the same thing here. You can still see Etruscan places that are basically open in the middle of the forest. So it is something very interesting to get into that idea and to have new ideas about these issues of relationship between nature and architecture in a series of actions that are also very dynamic actions, because also architecture is broken by vegetation, and so some hybridization between one and the other really happen in a series of dynamic movement. So it's something really, really interesting. Of course, many of the village that basically adds in that area a foundation that is Etruscan, and then a kind of major solidification, let's say, in medieval time, and then basically remain the same for those all the time, leaves that idea of combination of nature and architecture in a very, very pleasant, almost picturesque way, which is, of course, pleasant and interesting. Another moment, a very important moment, in which the issue of integration of nature and architecture came back. I want to show you that picture though. I will go local. There is one picture missing in the internet, I'm sorry, I will do it up here. Okay. Locally, yes. Okay. Because I wanted to show you this image that in some way it is important for our talk. This image. Not always architecture and nature were really thought together as an evolution. In certain moments of history, actually it was absolutely fundamental to cut that liaison. And one of those moments, of course, was the birth of Renaissance and of a perspective and completely controlled world by vision and architecture by the rules of perspective. Because of that, clearly, all the elements of hybridization with nature were took out. It makes sense, because all the spirit of architecture in that particular moment was the moment to have a controlled vision, a controlled world dominated by perspective. And architecture has to adhere to that idea. That's why it changes so dramatically from the previous one, in order to be perspectival in some way. So this moment is a moment that it is clearly that presence of hybridization was denied. And then it starts again, basically at the mid of the 16th century. At the mid of the 16th century,
all the basic rules of classicism and perspective were already completely incorporated in the culture of architecture, so it was not needed to adhere to them so strictly. It was possible to start again kind of a process of hybridization, combination of the two. This is a very interesting example, I think. It is close to Rome at the garden of the Palazzo Farnese in Capranica. It's another, I'm kind of showing you things that are interesting to see in your next trip to Italy, because they're not typical podcasts. You know, things that are a little particular.
It would be very fancy to tell your friends, have you seen the gardens in Palazzo Farnese? No, you don't. You should. All right. So, this is one example of this, and we have fantastic case of combination and hybridization of nature and architecture in very dynamic senses. We could start from here and jump to some work of information technology architects that are really developing some of these ideas. For example, I saw one garden done by our young, well, young, for me everybody is young, but anyway, for architects of this generation, like the Servo Group, did something quite similar to this one. Oh, similar, I mean, role, but the kind of idea is similar. And it's one of the good examples of thinking of certain issues of real profound hybridization of natural elements and architectural elements. Okay, now this is another thing that you have to say to your friend, you must really see it, otherwise you are in trouble. This one, actually, I saw this building only at the age of, I probably think of 35, because a friend of mine, who was an architect in London, was called Nick Brown, and you know, like, the British are a little eclectic, a little strange, they have always strange ideas. Eccentric. The British are very eccentric. So he arrived to Rome, and the only thing that he wanted to see in Rome was the Pirro Ligorio building in the Vatican Garden. He was not interested in anything else. He said, "Mio, you have to bring me to Pirro Ligorio things there." Oh, I knew it because I studied. Okay, you are kind of a formal education, but I studied this building, but I never thought it was that important. Anyway, since my friend wanted to meet to go, he had family party. He did the Alexander Road project in London in the 70s, one of those housing. Anyway, we went to see the Pirro Ligorio, and it's incredible. You have to really go and see. Are in the Vatican Garden, so you pay a ticket in this case and you see this. Why is this so important? Because this is a little prototype of all ideas of Baroque architecture that came into action basically more or less 100 years after. This was done in the middle of the 16th century, and it's really a prototype of a series of ideas that have been implemented at a large scale in all the urban spaces of Baroque, of Baroque city, particularly Rome. Why? Well, for a series of reasons. First of all, was the idea that architecture is not done per se, but is done as an interplay of action, and that really the buildings talk very much to each other in a very dynamic sense, in the way that you're really creating an urban scene, an urban action, an urban choreography. And that idea that the buildings are not important per se, and they are not irregimented in some kind of perspectival view, but in a very much more dynamic, scenographic view, it is clearly one of the basic ideas of architecture that arrived to the Baroque formation of urban spaces. That is only one reason. The other are very important too, is really that idea that nature is part of the game. It becomes part of the game through the thinking of vegetation as an actor of the scene, through the presence of water as a part of the scene, and all those things start to be hybrid again and mixed one with the other again. And the other reason, it is the sectional nature of the project. The project doesn't see it as a series of objects that are standing there, placed on a kind of ideal flat surface, but they are really engaged themselves sectionally with natural landscape. So all those ideas combined together are showing this prototype. While many architects know perfectly the little Bramante temple in Olga Nicolo, because that is, you know, a mark things to do, and because that is kind of the prototype, the first idea of a lot of Renaissance architecture, very, very few know this one. And this is really worthwhile for the issues that we are discussing. So, when we start seeing this scene, this urban scene, you understand that how all those actions are together. Particularly, in this case, probably nobody knows, this is, a few know, this is called the Condotti system, because the water was coming from top there and along one axis arriving to another part. So there is a whole system of water that is a system that is also kind of infrastructure of service of the city. At the same time, that idea pop up sometimes and become fountains, as defined as Bacchaccia fountains there in the bottom, or in other cases. So that idea of the sectional nature of the project and the greenery and the water and the Condotti are all combined together. So you cannot really understand what's going on in the urban scene of Rome if in some way you don't keep the memory of all those actions and are all hybrid actions, particularly in the Baroque time. Okay. Of course, I've been working very much with these issues. In many different ways, we can see. Okay, from this link, you go to the old thesis that has been produced in these years, and of course we can see also that one of Marcella del Signore that graduated now 5 or 6 years ago and made a rocket career and really completely deserved, and I'm really happy to be here with you know, see how well she is intellectually engaging with the school and with the students. So anyway, here are all the work, and then I picked just one before, or that was this one, because that is one case that is not a real project. Is a series, is kind of an applied urban analysis that is kind of interesting, very risky. It was a very risky action. In fact, she paid a very important fee in terms of grade, but it was a very interesting action because basically she was interpreting this series of concepts of the city in a series of, let's say, critical models. This one, for example, the issue that we are discussing before about the texture and the union and the relationship of that important with the country, is one other aspect that is very interesting. That downtown part of Rome is really that presence of that kind of textile interest of it. So in this case, particularly, the Pianta of Noli was printed on some type of lino or whatever tissue was it, and then was manipulated, and then as a kind of theatrical actions was manipulated on the other side, that certain things were coming out, and these are kind of the things of the popes and etc. So there were all actions that are kind of interesting. They are all preparatory action of a design that in that particular case never really completely developed, and there are others, but certain ideas of that hybridation and that textile aspect of the city, etc. They were there. In many other cases, we are dealing with complete projects. But I think this was interesting to show in this context. Now, well, let's do a jump here. We can do the jump in different moments, but let's do it here and then we'll be back.
The whole idea of modernism was related to machinery. Machine was the key horizon that measured all the actions of the culture of the modernism. So machine in some way was process, you have to duplicate the process of the machine. In some way was the product, was the philosophy, was the aesthetic, was the hygiene, so was really the keyword that around which the idea of modernism located. And of course that idea was incorporated in an idea of architecture that had to be organized in some way as a machine, so in a very clear processes, what has to be done in a similar way of a machine, particularly has to be conceived in a similar way of the machine, must be a perfect object, played on something. Ideally, played on a class, plane, because it's where you want to put an object, right? You don't want to put an object on in the middle of a forest, you want to put an object on a clean plane, right? So all these ideas combined, and also they are moving from the level of the object to the level of architecture, to the level of the city. They are all consistent.
Now, so I think this Léger painting and this, of course, very well known building, as you know, kind of icon of that idea. Today we are in a complete different phase.
This phase already started more than 20 years ago. We are basically everything changed. Really, everything changed. We can substitute to the word of machine the word of connection, interconnection, or the word of from the idea of a chain, the idea of a network, from the idea of an abstract plateau on which to place objects, the idea of a topography or a morphology. So everything became in some way a manipulated context within which action can take place. And those actions can be of different natures in some way. So, particularly, one of the key things that really changed is that difference between surface and object, between foreground and background. That thing is basically doesn't exist anymore because it's all about interconnection in some way. And because of that, basically, nature came back as environment, or even in other words, but basically we can depict the idea of nature or landscape, as an element that creates the basis of interconnection that may allow architecture to arrive or objects to arrive within a context, within a topography, within a morphology. That's why these two images are, I think, are kind of interesting. This is, of course, is a whole clay painting that you see that is a completely different work from that one, from the Léger, although they are done more or less at the same time. And this is one of the many studied manifestos. I will call this really manifestos, because are not really paintings, are not really architecture, are a combination of all different things. It's like a program of work, you know. And this drawing is being verified, being created, you know, in real architecture. That architecture corresponds to those rules.
So we are in a phase in which hybridization between architecture and nature it is historically very important. The other reason of that is exactly the advent of information technology. Because information technology basically moved in the old society the value is not only given by the fact to own the production means, of the industrial production means, how it was thought and actually done for the old industrial phase, in which the rich people are the people that own the means of production, particularly industrial production. So, today, as you know, the richest person are the persons that are in control of information. The value of information is definitely the most important value of today's society. And we understood that very, very clearly, just to look at who are the most prominent ones, you know, because they own information, and information is also a value of value.
Because of that,
the mean of production changed. Even the mean of normal hardware production, agriculture is done in information society era in a very different way than it was used to, because in each single amount of agricultural product, it is encapsulated an incredible amount of information that was not incorporated at the other time. Imagine all the assets that are related to the fact to buy one product in the supermarket. In that single product, basically you are buying 90% of things that are related to information technology, only 10% that are related to the actual car production, right? But the way of production are changed very much. They are become more compact through communication, can be dislocated in other parts, etc. All these aspects bring to a very important fact, which is simple, that there are new opportunities for cities all around the world to recapture, to add back to the city areas that were one time industrial and now they are being given back to the city. And generally in those areas, or at least there is always a battle about that, there is the possibility to bring back a lot of nature back in. Okay, so that process is not only a process that is in some way is aesthetical as we described, it's also a process that has to do with economics. In this phase of the world, of the history of humanity, it's possible to inject back nature, and of course with nature goes the idea of sustainability and other ideas, back into the city and back into the architecture, because that is possible historically and economically. Now, probably some of you know this book series. My dear friend Amar told me that this book New Flatness arrived $90 in the Amazon because it's become a good book. I don't know if that's true or not true. But anyway, this series has been around since when I started. I found in the end of 1960, and basically the first one in English was about 1990 was out, and 1990 and 2000, and since then 25 have been produced, and they were kind of popular among scholars and students, and in some cases also outside the school. And in these cases, we've done at least 2 to 3 books dealing more or less directly with these ideas of the relationship between nature and different aspects of nature and information technology. Particularly, I will point out new worms and new scales. New scales is basically really about these issues. In some way, how all these ideas are coming and injecting a new generation of architecture that has to do with information technology. And new worms goes to the idea of the body as part of this game.
And also in flatness, that touch that.
Now, another advice after Etruscan, Palazzo Farnese, Piero Ligorio, who is the guy to watch out? I think that's a very important advice. I think Toyo Ito is the real first class guy to watch out for this issue. That's my opinion. Why? For many reasons. Many reasons. I'm not going to lecture on Toyo Ito, I'm just touching it. He's surely a person that you have to pay a lot of attention to his work if you are interested to this aspect of, in some way, hybridization of nature and architecture in a new sense, a new generation of architecture that can incorporate some rules of nature, some understanding of a new phase of architecture, and particularly the understanding, and this is why it's so interesting, at least from my point of view, how information technology can be integral part of that game. Integral part means that it's a functional part, it's a tectonic part, and of course it's an aesthetic part, all combined together. And well, I'm supposed to do this, I'm doing this, okay. Now, it's always very risky thing to do lecture after your personal computer, you know, because again, thanks for passing me. All right. It's the same event.
Okay, that's good. Very good. Okay, now, Toyo Ito is the guy to watch out. Just that building in the cover of this book, it is really conceived as a series of hybrid action between water excavating masses that perform one with the other, or a project that is happening, actually finally is happening in Taiwan as a new opera house. So it's really a person to check out with attention, I think. Ah, by the way, this is a book that is only in Italian, unfortunately.
If Obama wins, no, sorry, not if Obama wins. Anyway, we hope that in the future that somebody will have to have the book back in English, and because in the process, for a series of reasons, we stopped the 25 books in English, but
we have 10 news in Italian, so probably they will arrive in one moment or the other. But this is, for example, the Toyo Ito book that is pretty interesting. So now I can close it up, because this is, as we said, a lunch seminar. It's just a touch about issues. With some work, these are...
How can I say? We talk of Toyo Ito, we talk about God. Whatever we do, it's just an incredible distance. The only interesting things are that our words that in some way are done at a scale that is not too far to the scale that, you know, a driveway here can tackle, okay, in some way. So these are competitions and works done by the people that are joining the group that I founded in Rome in 2004, that are young artists, around 30, that apply, that we work together on many different things, but particularly in the area of publication and a little bit in the area of design and research, but not with a specific professional aspect, more as a kind of continuation of research.
So, for example, in this case, this is a competition that got a prize in London, and it shows quite well that idea. I think the project was called
urban heaven. Yes. Okay. The idea was to create a little object in the middle of the town that can host different activities in some way. The program was very vague, but applied basically more at the scale of a design than at the scale of a real architecture. Is more an object than a real architecture. What it happens here, basically, in this case, has been studies, this series of forms, but what is interesting that can adapt and solve different issues of young people in the city. But particularly, I think what is interesting is that the object itself, it is a kind of a machine that through different processes can tackle different issues, can work as a purification of the air, can have sound, can have some vegetation that goes back in, etc. So this is one example of this kind of attitude. Then, of course, there are always done by this intro group, there are some competitions. This one, I think, is pretty interesting. I like it very much because this is was for a cemetery in England again. And of course, the cemetery was thought basically as a manipulation of forms, as you can see, and as more similar of a landscape than an actual artifact. But basically, these hills were built in such a way that it's possible to take care of the function that is supposed to happen there through series of elements. And also there were other elements of information technology like those cans that have lights and then can interact in different ways with the surrounding situation. We run a kind of a very, very beautiful, interesting space in Sicily. It's a little palazzetto in which we do summer studios and also experiments with a large garden and pretty comfortable situation to stay in. The place is on the sea, so we are enjoying that with other researchers, students. It depends on the situation. It's called Sicily Lab. And in that place, we do all sorts of things also in relationship with that idea of hybridization. We build prototypes also. So this case is a prototype of an hybrid thing that was looking at the palm, was done with the same techniques of the basket, and then was using information technology at different levels, one of which with the optical fiber and the other thing with different systems to spray water for natural reasons. The interesting thing of these are they are kind of beautiful at the end, and they are real, and they are prototypes. And being prototypes, they activate a series of processes that are interesting, very, very interesting, in the little town, etc. So, for example, that idea was moved to a series of action that was possible to do it on the seaside, basically, a series of kind of object that can act different regions, like shelters or like elements of light or other things that can happen there for different reasons. The interesting thing is that these things have been done. This year the group worked with a very interesting idea that there, very close to this place in Sicily that we are managing and operating, there is a ceramic firm that is called Caleca. Caleca was in the United States, and also in a certain phase was kind of popular as a classic ceramics in the United States. So we are in contact with them because actually their main factory is over there. So we discuss with them what we can do with them. And at the end of this discussion, they came up that the major problem that they had is the recycling of the ceramics. Because of course not all the pieces come perfect, so there are tons of cracks
and they want some idea of what to do with that.
So in the group we developed two ideas that I think are very nice. One is this one. I show it a little bit in this vague way because these are still in the aspect of production and, you know, they want to actually do these things. Anyway, this is with all the recycling ceramics. There are these elements around the trees that I think are very nice, are done either this way or that way, and can be done in all different ways. And then there is this other object that is a lamp, which I think is really beautiful. I show it purposely a little vaguely because, you know, these are things that are in the process of production and are all the work of the young designer of the Nico group, particularly Marta Moccia and Giovanni Bartolozzi did that. Then I wanted to show again, to finish up with this installation. I show it at the other lecture. So I apologize if some of you already seen, but try to understand that one thing can be seen in very different lenses. In the other case, we saw it from the lens of a cognitive aspect. We were discussing about the use of space as information, and we lecture all about that. And today we even didn't touch this one. So today we are looking at this only from the issues of aggregation of nature and architecture in a new informational phase. As this is done in a garden, the garden is done together by a landscape architect and gardener and a musician. He is a musician. And all kind of music is done specifically for this, for the different installations. In this particular case, there are old speakers that are beside these bushes, and at the same time, there is old technology to take care of the speaker and of the earth, of the bushes, etc. And so within this context, we've been invited to do an installation as an intro group, and basically, I think that being in a garden was important to do it a new type of art, of a new art of this time, of electronic time. Was of course interested of the idea of the natural vibration again, but clearly being in our time, that hibernation goes with information technology, cannot be conceived without information technology. What we see on the right is the frontispiece of Abbé Roger Bourquetet on the architecture in the 18th century was a kind of manifesto of great foundation of architecture of art illuministic time. And what you see here is the electronic hat that we've done. I'll show you this very quickly. And then I think we've done.
Thank you.
So, I thank you very much for your attention.
You can follow through more information in the app or in the link.
One thing that I really encourage you to do is because you know, for the time is a very short time and you have to cover a lot of information. So I encourage you all to go through the website and actually check out not only the website but also the books here. So the IT Revolution Architecture. So there are about 36 books, right?
Yeah, 25 in English.
So it's just not a matter of time. It's very interesting, especially if you got especially people who are like 40 or 50 that are dealing in cities with this issue, it's very interesting to see how these books start to create a discourse between architecture and contemporary issues now regarding the mouse. So how information technology can be embedded into the process of design. So thank you all for being here and good luck in your term. And I'll see some of you today.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.